Let us pray. O Lord, open our eyes that we might see. Open our ears that we might hear. Open our hearts that we might love, and our hands that we might serve. And take our souls and set them on fire with love for you. Amen. How has it been for you since Easter Sunday? Did the joy of Easter morning continue out throughout your week? Or was there something missing? Mondays have a way of bringing us back to reality. They have a way of taking the shine off a beautiful weekend experience. For me, I started my Easter Monday like I start most of my Monday mornings, at the golf course. On this particular Monday, it seemed to me that my ball found a bit more water than normal, that the woods seemed to be more friendly to me than the fairways, and most of my putts didn't quite make it to the hole. I'd like to blame this on Easter Monday and the letdown from Holy Week and Easter Sunday, but I have to be honest with you. Things really don't work too much better on other golf Mondays. But this Monday, there did seem to be a little more distraction. There seemed to be a hollow feeling, a feeling that something had been taken away. This first Sunday after Easter used to be called Low Sunday, a day to bring us gently down from the joy of Easter. There were two low Sundays the church celebrated. You might guess the other one was the Sunday after Christmas. I would prefer to call these Sundays that occurred after the two most significant feasts of the church reality Sundays, a day to put things into perspective, a day to mix a bit of humanity with divinity. Our lives are not lived on Resurrection Mountain, but in the valleys of human life. The resurrection has a way of getting lost in our daily lives. We still have bills to pay, a job to do, people to live with, relationships to foster. In today's gospel reading, John speaks to us about reality. The disciples are hiding in the upper room, fearing for their lives. Jesus had disappointed them. They had expected him to be a political savior who would drive out the Romans and in whose government they would have high places. However, instead of being lifted up on a throne in victory, he was lifted up on a cross as an apparent failure. They too had failed him terribly. They had fallen asleep when he asked them to watch while he prayed. Judas had betrayed him. Peter had denied him. And all ran away except Mary and John. They must have been a bit tense as Jesus now appears before them. They had every reason to expect him to reprimand and reject them. But what does Jesus say? Peace be with you. He seems to say to them, I understand what you have gone through, and it's okay. Life must go on, and we must work together. So rather than a reprimand, Jesus gives them a gift, the gift of peace, and fills them with his Spirit, a gift that will help them deal with the reality that we call life. But there was someone missing. The man they called the twin. Thomas missed the appearance of his good friend. His reaction when he hears of the appearance of Christ is one of disbelief and doubt. The picture that is painted of Thomas is a man of little faith, a man who says, "Show me, and I will believe." But before we judge this man to be weak and uncaring, let us remember that when Jesus first decided to go see his friend Lazarus in Bethany, His disciples begged him not to go because they feared not only for Jesus' life, but their own. But it was Thomas who said, "Let us then go and also go to Jerusalem, that we may die with him." Thomas never lacked courage, but he was the natural pessimist. There is never a doubt that he loved Jesus. He loved him enough to be willing to go to Jerusalem and die with him when the other disciples were hesitant and afraid. Thomas is called the twin, but we never hear who his twin was. Could it be that we are his twin? Are we not all Thomases? Don't we need to see the mark of the nails before we believe? No one was expecting Jesus to rise from the dead. No one was waiting at the tomb in anticipation of the resurrection. We can almost read Thomas's mind as rumors begin circulating that Jesus was alive. Why didn't Jesus contact his closest friends first? Where was he staying? Why all the mystery? Why didn't Mary recognize him right away? Was Jesus a ghost? Honestly, if Jesus was alive, couldn't he be a bit more conspicuous? Thomas had a distinctively modern sense of grasping the truth when he said, "Show me." We might sympathize with Thomas's demand for physical proof of Jesus' resurrection, but we also must be aware of the shortcomings of the "show me" attitude. For those of us that are colorblind, no explanation of color is adequate. For those who are skeptical, no amount of proof is ever enough. What can we learn from all of this? That God is always with us, not like us. He knows the flaws that hold us back, but God isn't held back by them. When we choose death, God still chooses life. When we dismiss those to be unworthy, God chooses humanity. When we can only see the bad in our society, God always chooses the good. Even when we make a total mess of our day, God is with us in the living of that day. We just need to open our eyes. Try as we might, we can't make God a creature of our own frailty. The disciples learned that, and we must also learn that without a strong faith in a God who cares for us, our journey through life becomes more difficult. Without faith, we are restricted in what we can see. It's only with the vision of faith that all things are revealed. But where do we find and nurture that faith? We don't find it by ourselves. We find it in community. And this was Thomas's mistake. Even though he was depressed and withdrawn and shattered, he should not have left the fellowship of his brothers and sisters, because he could not find his way by himself. Faith is doubt positioned in hope. And where does hope come from? It comes from other people. All of us have our doubts. To cope with them, we need each other. With the help of our friends, we begin to see with our hearts. We know that we are called to be Easter people and see the world with Easter eyes, to help others to experience the risen Christ through our own generosity, compassion, and forgiveness. As we come to Eucharist this morning, let us pray that we can begin to see the world with Easter eyes, eyes that tell us that Jesus is truly alive in our world, and eyes that help us make those Easter Mondays more like Easter Sundays. Amen.